The man told the story because he said he got healed over a 2-year period. What does it mean? He said that medicine was taking before, which was keeping his heart in check. One day, the Holy Spirit just spoke to him. He said, why don't you start dropping one dose? So he would take 2. The next dose, he would skip it. He was still dropping one dose out of 3. Then after a while, he said, let me just skip 2 doses. After 2 years, he forgot to take the medicine entirely. And many years later, he was still telling the story. He was perfectly well. Why I remember it is that his pastor explained to him, start with what? Words. I think Christians should start with it. Start with words. You are believing God for prosperity, for open doors. Start with words. You wake up in the morning, I'm a productive person. Doors open for me. I am above alone. I am not beneath. Don't go to church and go and pledge 1 million naira that you don't have. Oh, guys, I've done it. So I so believe God very strongly. And if you're a money-raising pastor, anyway, I don't want to beg you for trouble. Don't go and just start, just say, okay, I'm believing God. Please, how much is this car? 5.2 million. Amen. It's a realm of prosperity. All right, put me down for one. All right, maybe you now have 100K. Let me just drop the deposit 100K. I'll come and pick it up by next week. Of course, it's a non-refundable deposit. There goes your seed. You shouldn't do that. If you go there, you like the car, you believe you are prosper to that level, talk to the car. Talk to it and walk away. I like the talk matter. Nobody's going to hold you. Why were you talking to that car? What is it? That's good at this car. You and your brothers and sisters, you're mine. I use people like you to do the will of God. You're going to come to my house. Amen. You also walk away nicely. You understand what I'm saying? You're talking to yourself. You're talking to your soul. You're talking. And those words actually go out and cause things to manifest. By the time you start taking actions, the actions will just be obvious that you should take them. You start with words, not with actions. I believe we have understood that. So back to the matter of a discipleship. So the first thing that marks you as different, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, is how you talk. Is what you say. Things you speak out of conviction. It is not when they want to share money and share women, they suddenly discover you are a Christian. No. Before that, you have told them enough. Those words actually, there's one thing about words. They capture you. You literally will be ensnared by the words of your mouth. If you have declared before people, I don't do this, it's against the will of God, I am a Christian. 2 things. One, they may not even offer you. Some who want to offer you those things, the words will make sure. The words will make it impossible for you to accept. That's the advantage. Those words have power. You declare them ahead, they come back and they work for you. In fact, I've explained this one before. I have a strong suspicion, I can't be dogmatic about it, that when the Bible said the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we know that the angels of God, they walk around on our behalf. They've been sent forth to minister on behalf of those who inherit salvation. This is my own thought about it. We have to issue them the sword with which they will fight on our behalf. We are like the ones keeping the armory that our angels will use. It's not you start discussing with your angels. Some Christians say you do that. I've never understood that. You just issue forth words. Just issue forth words. And those words are the swords with which the angels will take and fight on your behalf. I think Christians must understand that. That's where it begins from. It begins with what? Words. The words that we speak. Now again, on the matter of discipleship. So that's how you start making your enemies with your words. Not just with your actions. You understand what I mean by enemies now? Start disagreeing at home. I can't seem to leave this matter. Next time you go home, disagree. What did I say? Disagree. Disagree. When they say, don't talk to those your cousins, they are wicked. You say, the word of God says, do good to those who are wicked to you. If I see that man on the road, I would never give him a lift. And they are talking about your uncle. Tell your father, why not? Those who have never lifted a finger to help us in this family, our helps come from the Lord. Your father said, what's wrong with you? No, as a Christian, we must understand this. These are the reasons why God won't send people help. When we are bearing unforgiveness in our hearts, go home and disagree. One of my friends said that his father died early, and as in Africa, if anybody dies, somebody is responsible. All right? That, as far as we are concerned. So once he went home, I went to go and visit his uncle's family. And the mother told him, no, don't go there. I said, why not? They are the ones that killed your father. The guy laughed. They don't worry about it. Okay, don't eat anything they give you. He said he went there. Sat down. Ah, how are you? I'm very fine, auntie. I'm very fine, uncle. Would you like to eat? Why not? As far as concerned, it is the will of God. Yeah, they brought food. He ate it, drank everything, greeted them, and went back home. And his mother looked like, you are very, very crazy. Yes, I'm a Christian. This is Christianity. I am a Christian. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. I am a Christian. He said he was in his gist in school. He said he went there, ate the food, drank the water, rubbed his stomach, thanked everybody, and left. They said, you killed my father. I don't know. I don't care. One thing I'm sure of is you can't kill me. That's number one. Number two is that even if you did, I've forgiven you. I'm a Christian. So that's what I'm telling you. Next time you go home, do what? What did I say? Disagree. Start making good enemies. This is things you hear in secret. That's what it means to be a disciple. You can't be a disciple and you get home, everybody else don't yet understand what you know as a disciple, and you will not have problems with them. You will have problems with them. Tell them I'm not around. See? You are around. No, as a Christian in our church, you know, there's one thing I like, you know, when I was serving that time, you know, one day somebody came and met me that they want to terminate a pregnancy. I'm a doctor, so. And that, I shouldn't mind your dad, doctor, the way he behaves, they don't want him to know their secret. So I looked at the guy, but he didn't know me yet. I was still relatively new in that place, that and during his service. I said, I don't do such things. He said, why not? I said, because I'm a Christian. If I do it, I will die and go to hell. You know, that's a very nice way to put it. If he's saying, you know, it's not good. Who said it's not good? I don't care whether it's good or bad. I'm just a Christian. And if I do it, I will die and go to hell. That's it. It's, oh God, it's used to solve all my problems. You will never get a second offer. Once you attach hellfire to the thing, I like hellfire, you know. Just take small hellfire. Used to embellish the thing. Everybody leaves me alone. Now that's it. Everybody totally leaves me alone after that. That's what I mean by disagree. Don't just start with actions. Start with what? Words. Let it get to a time you are almost obnoxious. As if people almost say, don't mind the way he talks. But just make sure it is because you are speaking what? The truth. It is because you are declaring what you heard in secret. Declare that one openly. And what we are talking about secret are the things that we studied from the Word of God. Those who are not disciples, they did not follow you to Bible study. They did not follow you to church. They did not follow you when you were listening. They didn't join you when you were listening to a tape. When you were reading a book, they did not read the same books. Those are the things that were uttered in secret. That's discipleship. That's what I mean by when you get there, disagree. Disagree. When I was talking then, talking about that politics matter, I said, look, Christians join politics. Just don't do it the way other people do it. There is nothing ungodly about obtaining a form for nomination. Is it ungodly? Go to your village, you feel impressed off by the spirit to contest to be a counselor. You go and collect the form. Then go and print poster. Posters are very cheap if it's just black and white. This color does not improve your chances of winning. I hope you know that. Color doesn't improve your chance of winning. What they just need is to know your name and your party. Even your face. How many people know you before? Doesn't matter much. Just your name and your party. Then go. It's not just a few words in the local government. Don't go at night. If you're afraid of being attacked at night, do your campaign between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Just go around making noise. If you win, it's the will of God. If you lose, it's the will of God. Whichever one you do, is the will of God. But if you don't contest, if you don't take the form, you don't campaign, it is not the will of God, you are disobeying the will of God. That is when your troubles will really start. That's what I want Christians to understand. That's what it means to be a disciple. You go there, you disagree with everybody. We are going to gather money, so let's go and bribe the local, maybe judges around there who may be involved, the magistrates around. Said, lie. They will rule against you. Let them. And you know, one of the things I'm teaching Christians these days is you make a lot of godly noise. Say, listen. You know, remember that our new terrible psalm? Psalm 45. When they say, pray in the village square, carry the megaphone. In the name of Jesus, arise, O Lord, and let thy enemies be scattered. Guide your sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty. And ride on victoriously in the defense of truth and righteousness and meekness. And let your right hand do terrible things. Let your arrow be in the heart of those who will support unrighteousness and dishonesty and wickedness. In the name of Jesus, I hereby declare this village dance open. They say you should just pray about village dance. You don't cost everybody finish. And when they are talking, say, don't worry, we'll pray about it. One of the things I've learned is this prayer is a tool. You know what I said? Yeah, it's like you get hammer. Sometimes when you want to do something, you take prayer also. When they say that, those guys, they decide to gather. I hear they are going to Abuja. They are going to give bribes. Okay, say, tell them, do you have their phone number? Call them that we are going to church. We are going to pray. Now we are going to pray about them. If it is true what they are saying, they get to Abuja in one piece, and God is having mercy. We are going to church. Guys, don't mention names. So, guide your sword upon thy thigh. In fact, oh God, I think Christians should form cult. Serious cult. So what's happening? The cult people in church are meeting. The only good thing about our cult is that it's open. Believe in Jesus Christ, you're a member. Our meeting is not at night unless we are busy during the day. It's just a prayer meeting. That's our cult meeting. Our incantations are the scriptures. We won't mention your name, we won't put your picture there and be casting it with oil and mantle. That one is witchcraft. We just declare the word of God. If you survive it, you are righteous. If you are wicked, God, the Lord is good. I worked in the hospital many years ago. When I arrived, my first month at work, I think that was the first person I certified dead, I think in my life, yes. When you start work, one of the jobs of a doctor is to decide somebody is dead. You know, many people may look asleep. Some are actually dead. It's your job as a doctor to decide this fellow is dead. I think one of the first few people in my life I certified dead. I remember that woman very well. I didn't know. I just started working when once she came to clinic. My friend saw her. They said that she was ill. A few days later, she came back to clinic. That one, I was now there. As I was with my big chief. As soon as she walked into the clinic, my big chief just looked at her and said, madam, I have to admit you. He didn't even let her say anything, just looking at her. Hey, we'll talk on the wards. Take her to the wards. So she went to the wards. She became ill. She had a liver problem, acute liver matter. She came, it became worse, and then finally one afternoon, she died. Now, what is the gist about it? They told me that that was the last of a set of about 4 or 5 people that died in the hospital in 1 year. And what was the issue? The chief medical director of the hospital was a Christian and a difficult man, a stubborn human being. If a child of God is stubborn, go and report him to his father. Don't fight him. They decided they were going to fight. And those people, they had their own clique of prayer people. They didn't pray against anybody. They just decided to be doing their thing and worshiping God. And all those who ganged up against them from the beginning of that year began to drop dead one after the other. I certified the last one dead. That's when I started walking. I heard the story later. One of the other nurses, they were telling me the GC, this was what happened though before I came. I said, are you serious? This is our CMD. Terrible human being. Now, so you're off everybody like that. So one day I was in the CMD's office. We were talking. Well, it was as a young Christian, I think. Though he was an old man, but as a Christian, he was relatively young. So he was, he was telling me that because of those things that happened, that one day one man came and met him and said, Oga, they say you are the one that used prayer to kill the chief matron. Because the chief matron, the chief matron too died. He said, you are the one that used prayer to kill the chief matron. The man said, is it not only wicked people that prayer kills? He did not deny it. He did not accept it. He just said, if my prayer killed you, you were wicked. He said, that was all he told the man. He said, He said, in that case, it implies she was a wicked woman. That's all the man said. But I just sat down there listening to the gist. You know, I understand spiritual things. They were not lying. This was one of them that were ganging up against. There's this group that were praying in the hospital. You cannot pray. People say, you know those kind of things. People say you are Christians. Now the people just begin praying. They continue prayer. And so they take prayer off all their opponents. After that, every man behave. Every man behave. I'm telling you. See, Christians, you know the problem with us Christians is we serve our own wickedness, serve no greed. We lie with money. Or, you know, pastors and money. Hey, God, may you have mercy upon us. If we just stop loving money, we'll see the power of God. The problem with the love of money is that it doesn't let you tell the truth. And if you don't tell the truth, you don't see the power of God. Listen, you want to be a politician or whatever you are doing, and they say people will gang up and they go to shrine and they form cult, be happy. I always like those ones that involve spiritual things. Because I know where I get power. Are you getting my point? That's the one I like. That one, I like it. That is a real operation, fire for fire. I won't mention your name. I'll just lift up my hands and worship God. As I'm saying, God is good. He has done me well. Oh, my soul, rise up and praise the Lord. As I'm saying that, devils are saying, these people are wicked. We are going to kill them all. Your enemies, don't worry about them anymore. I didn't mention names. So I just worship the Lord. And the angels go and scatter the camp of enemies. Listen, this is my message for Christian politicians. You have your own shrine, amen? Amen. Your shrine is your bedroom. Your incantation is the word of God. Don't mention anybody's name. Just worship. Declare the word of God over your life. The Lord is good. Let's get back to our message. How did we get there? Many of you are planning to take form. Maybe you are the ones. Don't worry. No, 2014 is coming. Things are getting hot. That's it, 14? 2015, this is 2014. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I hope you got my point there. We are good people, though. We are not bad people. We don't mention names. We don't shoot arrows. We just worship God. That is our own shrine. Let me get back to what I was saying. Remember, it's words. That's where our discipleship begins to manifest. So this is what the Lord was saying. He said, when you begin to declare those words, the things you heard in secret, the things that I spoke in whispers in your ears, that is the ears of your spirit, you proclaim them on the housetops. You are going to find separation. And in verse 37, he says, that is the time you have to start making, that's Matthew 10, now verse 37. That is the time you have to start making your choice concerning who you will follow. He said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now listen to this. The opposite of loving father and mother or daughter or whoever it is more than me is what he's about to say. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Let's quickly explain these two verses. What does it mean to take the cross of Jesus? That's what we're talking about. I built up to this, explained these things line by line. This is what it means. As you are making your declarations, as you are following the word of God as a disciple of Jesus Christ, what you notice, like I said, is separation in intimate relationships. If somebody who you never liked before doesn't like the fact that you are a Christian, it does not drive you to making any dangerous choice. You know that. There's this auntie that has never spoken to your father or your mother. What thing concern you? If they say you are talking the word of God, it doesn't matter. It is when it separates you from your intimate relationships, like your father, like your mother, and relationships that are that intimate, that is when discipleship begins to exert its cost. Are you getting my point? Now, he says, that is when you make your choice. If you decide to please your father, you are not worthy of me. Because pleasing your father means you turn your back upon those things that I told you to declare openly. Then you are not worthy of me, see. And listen, these things, when people are pleasing their father, he has, you know, some of us, you know, it's not a big deal. You say, ah, what is it? What did my father go do for me before? You are richer than your father, so it's not a problem. In fact, your father had better please you, otherwise nothing for him. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, so that's their own angle. But you have to look at it from the angle that the Lord Jesus was talking about. Pleasing your father means, that is, displeasing your father me here, talks about separating you from your inheritance. You must understand that. Separating you from the contacts you need for progress. Pleasing your father is not just a natural father, I believe, because of the spirit of what he's talking about. It could be your mentor, somebody who has trained you in business, who will open doors for you. You begin to say things are not supposed to be done like this as believers, and then you start separating the two of you. Discipleship has its cost, and that is the point you start paying the price. It can shut a business opportunity down for you. It can shut down a career opportunity. It can shut things down for you that you thought would have helped you make progress in life. And that's the temptation of life. Jesus was saying here, that is when you will decide whether you are worthy of me or you are not. If you decide for the Lord Jesus Christ, it is called taking up your cross and following him. That's what it means. Taking up your cross is not, let me pray 5 hours. Hindus can pray 11 years. You know, Christians pray 5 hours and they feel so spiritual. All this Hinduism that we practice and Buddhism, forget it. You're talking about meditation and going to the jungle to pray. I don't, you know, the truth is that some of those things, I don't care. Somebody said, I went to the jungle to pray. That's your problem. I went to my city room and prayed. You understand? Jungle is where you had quietness. Unfortunately, I had a city room to pray. Are you going to remember? The God of the jungle is the God of the palo with rug in it. It's the same thing. Don't feel spiritual because you went to pray in the bush. All right? Why am I talking about that? Hindus will go to the bush naked. And that doesn't give them anything as far as God is concerned. Faith is what gives you everything. We keep on talking about it. So I fasted for 5 days. Listen, let me tell you the truth. Many people will not agree what I want to say, but I don't care. I have to bear my cross and follow him. Amen? If after the first day you are hungry, eat something. You can continue the fast after you have eaten something. Pastor Banke, are you serious? I am very serious. I like Daniel. Daniel said, 3 weeks you take to, he didn't know it was going to be 3 weeks. That's what I told you. All this is your fast that you just declare. I don't believe he declared 4 day fast. I don't believe in it one bit. These are my idiosyncrasies in which you are free to disagree with me. We'll still meet in heaven. There are things you must not disagree with me on, otherwise you're in trouble. All some things are written in the law of God clearly. Don't disagree with me because it's not me now. It's the word of God. But things like this, you can't disagree. It's okay. This is what I believe. Just to emphasize it, as a Christian, your fasting is just nothing more than a period to concentrate on the word of God and prayer. Your hunger is totally not part of it. Food, however, can constitute itself into a distraction. Are you getting my point? So you cannot be hungry and watching a World Cup and you say you are fasting. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. If you want to fast, you can't watch World Cup. If you have to watch World Cup, eat plantain chips while you are watching the World Cup because it's the same thing. What are you doing the World Cup? Be eating buns and drink. You know, Christians are funny. They will sit down there and be watching. They watch all the matches in World Cup and say, I was fasting the whole of last month. The guy was watching all the matches. How can you be deceiving myself, yourself and me like that? You can't watch World Cup and say you are not eating. That means you are fasting. That is Hinduism. Even the Hindus won't even watch the match. They will probably tie their legs together to support their team and hang it upside down and wrap their body in yellow card and red card. Listen to me. As a Christian, if you want to fast, fast. Are you getting my point? The food is, abstinence from food is less important than abstinence from matches. People say they are fasting. They won't miss any Arsenal match. And you say you are fasting. You are lying. You are not fasting. It's a lie. What did I call it? A lie. Lie. Stop deceiving me. You say, Pastor Mark, I believe you must be hungry. No problem. I agree with you. You must be hungry. I don't have to be, but you say you must be hungry. But one thing you must add to it, you must not watch matches. You can't tell me you are fasting, you are hungry, and Iniedo is parading half naked in front of you, morning till evening. You are watching home video. Christians do it. They are fasting. They are sitting down there crossing like television, morning till night. They are fasting. You're not fasting. You're watching TV. If you are fasting, I don't see the time you have to watch part one, part two, part three of a story my son can tell in 30 minutes. You are not fasting. You are lying. A man who has eaten, all right, in fact, not only eating, he's chewing popcorn while meditating on the word of God. He's going to go farther than you. So, how did I get into that? You know, I get into these things once in a while. I don't even know. God is having mercy on me. Don't worry about it. How did I get there? Anyway. Okay, I'm talking about the cost of discipleship. I remember. So Christians think that they are getting carrying their cross because they went too fast. That is not, you're not, that is, you're not carrying any cross that you went too fast at all. Hindus fast all the time. Hindus can fast. I told you that when we began speaking about Christ, the final truth. I explained the story of a Hindu I saw who had not sat down in about 10 years. And he was going to remain like that for 12 years. He had never sat or laid down. Christians say that when you fast, you put the body under. The Hindu has a body under the earth, if it's like that. The other one had his arm raised up. And he was going to raise that hand for 12 years. He won't drop it. By the time they showed us the hand, it had withered. The one that said he won't sit or lie down for 12 years, how do you sleep? He rests on a suspended pillow like this. That is how he sleeps. The first few months, his feet became so swollen, the blisters ruptured. The wounds remain. They can't even heal because he would not lie down. And by the time I was watching this, he had done it for like 10 years. He had 2 years to go, thereabout. I beg, forget that one. You're talking about cross. Somebody say, I don't want to go to hell. They've gone to carry all their earring and put it in the house. They wash their faces. Anytime I see them, I laugh. If you don't want to wear jewelry, one of my friends, his wife doesn't use makeup. And here are now of the same school of thought. So I don't just like it. It's not a big deal. It's not a cross that you suddenly come out all your earring, you throw it because you watch a video in which some women were telling lies. I thank God that I have been built up to a level and I'm still building up higher, but I've reached a level where I'm not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. One girl comes and she slept, she woke up, she went to heaven, she did not see men. She didn't see women, she saw only men. Where are the women? They went to hellfire. Why did they go to hellfire? Because they had Brazilian hair. For you to even think that is true, I need to conduct deliverance from hellfire for you. Because some thoughts shouldn't cross your mind. You know, once I heard it, I said, it's a joke. My God does not send people to hell because they want Brazilian hair. How can you even say that kind of thing? Then the Brazilians themselves, they just be born in hellfire. Oh, God. They said they use attachment. Oh, you know, you have his ignorance not bad, you know. Honestly, no one that God shook his head and said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Somebody went and met Ogemote, saying the whole of redeem. Only two people are going to heaven. So Ogemote told him, said, no problem. Since I am one, who's the second person? There's no fight. He said, there are only two people. I'm not sure of the GO. No, I don't know him. I mean, it's between him and his God. You get my point? I'm not saying he's a bad man. I don't know. You say only two people. I am sure, me, I am one. So you, the prophet, and the whole of the church remaining, choose the other person that's following me. Because don't even try to scare me that I'm not going. He told the guy straight, oh. Say, me, I'm one. So all of you, including you, prophet, go and be struggling for the second position. Oh, Father God. So listen to me. That is not a sign that you are carrying your cross. That's what I'm trying to explain. That is not. I don't wear fine clothes again. It's not a sign you are carrying your cross. What is a cross? It's when you have to make decisions in loyalty. Yeah, that's the word. To the word of God. That will hurt your most intimate relationships. And you see, go ahead and make that decision. That is when you are carrying your cross. That is a carrying of cross. As you can see it here. Jesus said, in that context, some people, because they want to be safe, they want to ensure that they make it in business. Listen to this. They want to ensure they don't get into trouble and annoy somebody. A friend of mine called me yesterday. We were speaking. He mentioned another of our friends. He said, he belongs to one of these. In fact, let me just mention it. I mean, you know, the Church of England, the Anglican Communion. All right? Church of England. So get his license in UK to preach. He had to sign a document making it clear he will not preach anything that says homosexuality is wrong. Otherwise, they won't license him to preach. He doesn't have much of a problem because he can say that I won't sign. There's a reason why I'm talking about. Let me not give too many details because he's a professional, you understand? So, but there are those that they were trained all their lives as clergymen. They think they need that license. And somebody says, you cannot preach this, preach that, preach this, preach this. And the Holy Spirit says, if you don't preach this, preach this, preach that, preach this, you will not be preaching the whole counsel of God. Now, you are supposed to be a vicar in a big church where offering is good, apartment is nice, are you getting my point? The car is new, scholarship for 3 children, and after that, apart from that, you don't have any other thing. You ain't got jack. You need that license like any other thing. This is the source of income, shelter for the family. So the people will look, take the pen. I'm talking about the cost of discipleship and they sign an agreement so that they will still have a place to talk, a talk that will not be pleasing to God. What Jesus said is that they have chosen to save their life. And he said that is the person that will lose it. Discipleship. You know, I never knew that in my lifetime persecution will start like this. That is the beginning of persecution in countries like Europe, in places like Europe. The story I told you, that happened in UK. That is persecution. In the US, that spirit is pushing in, trying to get in. Because of the amount of light they still have, they are still managing to keep it in check so that the persecution is not overt yet, even though it is starting. This man made a statement last time. What is his name? No, he didn't make the statement recently. He made a statement long ago, Donnie McClurkin. There was one major event that happened recently, or about to happen, I'm not sure now, in the US. But I think a Black History event. And he was supposed to give a speech. And they removed his name for one simple reason. They denied him the opportunity. Because many years ago, he made a statement that God delivered me from the curse of homosexuality. He did not say homosexuals are bad people. He didn't say you will go to hell. He just said that God delivered him from what he considered a curse. And that was it. His name was removed. for something he said years ago. A man was appointed the CEO of Mozilla. If you use Firefox, they are the ones that produce it, all right? Thunderbird, the email client, Thunderbird, Firefox browser. They have a Firefox OS now for some mobile phones. You have Firefox on your mobile phone as a browser also. But it's produced by the Mozilla company. They appointed this man, Eric Schmidt, as the CEO. And then some jokers decided to raise a petition against him. Said there's this dating website. And they said that nobody should use Firefox anymore. Why? Because about 8 years ago, he gave $1,000 to support Proposition 8 in California, trying to define marriage as the union of a man and a woman. 8 years after, they appointed him CEO of an organization, and riots, in quotes now, began. You know what they're trying to do? It's not him. It is people afterwards. So what is now happening is that a lot of Christians are now backing down. They say, no, I don't want to get controversial. That is, you ask them statements, they will not make any statement. Pastors are pulling back because they have to be popular, they have to sell their books, they have to get recognition. And Jesus said, if you deny me, denying Jesus is about denying truth. If you deny that which you know to be truth, what you are doing is that you are putting down your cross. Because you want your life to be safe. And listen to the word of God. Everything you as a Christian compromise to get, you eventually lose. It's not my word, it's the word of God. So whosoever will find his life is the one that will lose it. He said, but the one that will be willing to lose his life for my sake, for the sake of truth, that is the one that actually will eventually find it. Temporarily, it may look like he's the one that's losing it. But at the end of the day, you will find out that he is the one that will win it. You are in love with a woman. You believe at least she's everything that you ever found in the book. Should I say yes? She loves God, loves the word, loves truth, worships the Lord. She's thoroughly washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have seen all of these things. Then you now remember that your father will rather die than you marry somebody from her village. Better buy your father a casket, because that is the only option you have. Otherwise, you are the one that will do the dying. As a Banky, that is the most wicked thing you have ever said. Jesus said, I did not come to unite you to your father. I came to separate you from him. If truth is going to separate the two of you, so be it. I'm talking discipleship here. That's what we're talking about, discipleship. That is what it means to carry your cross. That's what it means. To hurt the people that you love the most, not because you are a wicked human being, just taking pleasure in the pain of other people, but because that is what obedience to Jesus Christ automatically does to them. Ah, it is sad, but it's too bad. That's the cross of Christianity. That is the cross of Christianity. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I've come to make everybody happy. Ah, you are making a mistake. I've come to separate intimate relationships, in which a man, a woman will have to decide, who do I love more? Is it my village people or my heavenly village? I have to decide. Who do I love more? I want to prosper or I want to obey truth? Who do I love more? I want to be settled in my future and be very rich. But listen to this, is the word of God. Let me say one more time. Everything you compromise to get as a Christian, Jesus said you will eventually lose it. So it is safer for you, endure the pain now, because you will be saved eternally. I've looked at my time, and I think I've spoken enough for one day. Let's bow down our heads and just say, Lord, thank you. Just say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, for telling me the truth, thank you. Just make a commitment again. Say, Lord, I choose to be a disciple. I choose to carry my cross. I choose to carry my cross. Oh.